Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the service of worship hosted here at First Presbyterian Church of New Haven, Connecticut. It is good to gather as the people of God to worship God, even if our gathering is of our hearts and our spirits, even while our bodies are apart. A couple of announcements that I want to share with you, that we want to share with you before we join our voices in the call to worship. So just bear with us as we get through these. Jenny.
First, this service is actually interactive. It's an interactive service of worship. Subtitles are going to appear at the bottom of your screen for the lines that you are intended to pray and say as you are able.
Also, if you have a prayer concern, if you want to share with us what it is that you're praying, please do email me. You can find my email address at our church's website at fpcnh.org, or you can email me at pastorjc@fpcnh.org. But share with us your prayer concerns, and during the worship service, during our prayers of the people, we'll add your prayer to our prayer wall here in the sanctuary.
And at the end of this service, you'll have the opportunity to pass the peace, maybe with someone in the room with you. But also, we're going to encourage folks to give someone a call or just send someone a letter or something. Perhaps it's someone you normally sit near when you're present in the church, or maybe it's someone kind of alphabetically near you in the church directory or something like that. So whatever you choose, but it'd be really great to pass the peace to someone over the phone. So. We'll remind you of that at the end of the service, too.
Okay, so now you're invited to get comfortable, maybe have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with you, and join your hearts with ours in worship as we join together in the call to worship. Though creation groans as it awaits redemption, God's joy breaks through the darkness.
Thanks be to God.
Though we strive and toil under the yoke of empire, God's shalom, God's peace, breaks every chain.
Thanks be to God.
Though dissension and segregation prevent us from encountering God's image in the other, God's love casts out all fear.
Thanks be to God.
Though oppression and isolation infect our imaginations, God's justice will heal the world.
Thanks be to God.
We sing and celebrate together because God's kingdom is not only possible, it is on its way. If you listen, you can hear it breathing.
Come,
let us worship God.
Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise.
few minutes, we're going to hear a familiar story, a story from the Old Testament, the story of the Israelites receiving manna in the wilderness. After following Moses, after following the power of God from enslavement into freedom, the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness before arriving in the promised land. And while they journeyed, they grew hungry. Their food supplies ran out. Their bellies groaned with emptiness. Aware of their need, God provided. Aware of their hunger, God filled them with good things. And while we do not experience the same exact circumstances today as the Israelites did then, we do experience the same God of gracious provision. However, in times like these, times when we feel uncertain and scared, times when we feel isolated and lonely, and times when we feel unsure of what will come tomorrow, we forget God's gracious provision. And we cling to our human devices. We close ourselves off to the word of God made manifest in Christ and the word of God we find in the scripture, even as we grope for certainty that we cannot control. But we don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. Today we can pray. We can confess to God that which prevents us from relying on God's gracious provision, God's gracious power, and we can be open. We can open ourselves anew to the Spirit, to what the Spirit might have for us through the Holy Word. So first, together we will pray in silence, and then together we will pray a responsive prayer of confession as printed on the screen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we confess that we are just as selfish, fearful, and prone to violence as those we have called our enemies.
Have mercy on us.
We confess that as a church, we have not always lived out the ideals we espouse.
Have mercy on us.
We confess that as a country, we have exploited, stolen, and destroyed your creatures and your creation.
Have mercy on us.
Today we gather in common shame.
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us, sinners, us hypocrites, us frail and fickle followers, and restore us, O God, to the joy of your salvation, that we might be finally, truly free. Through Christ we pray.
Amen.
Church, God has promised that whenever we repent and seek new union with God, forgiveness is ours. That promise comes true now. Church, rest assured and know that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
What good news that is. As we are prepared to hear scripture, let us join our hearts in prayer. Speaking God, would you illuminate the path before us that we might walk and obey in courage and faithfulness. Send your Holy Spirit that we might encounter you in your word and be changed by your liberating power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 11 through 21. Listen for the word of God. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as they needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. Here ends our first lesson. The second lesson comes from the Psalms, Psalm number 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and God answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you God's holy ones. For those who fear God have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. God keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of the Lord's servants. None of those who take refuge in God will be condemned. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's my turn. So good morning. It's fun to be able to have church in this way. Last time I preached, the heaters were off and I preached with a down jacket on. And this time preaching, we're doing it like this. So maybe I should stop preaching.
I know.
And yet here we are. So as you all know, many of you know, we've been going through the Lord's Prayer together during this Lenten time. And last week, Pastor JC preached on the phrase, "May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which seems like a very apt, appropriate prayer for this time, asking God to renew this creation, asking God's kingdom to come when things are really rough, when clearly it doesn't feel like God's will is being done. Today, we'll be looking at the next phrase, which is, "Give us this day our daily bread," which For me, at first, I wasn't really sure what it had to do with this moment. But as the week has gone on, obviously, I think it's become a lot clearer. And this prayer has become something that I've been praying a lot in the past couple days. So I'll read from the scripture, and then we'll get started. So once again, if you want to turn with me in your Bible or on BibleGateway.com or your Bible app, this is coming from Matthew 6, right? Starting at verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the God, word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So give us this day our daily bread. It's the only part of the Lord's Prayer that has a particular kind of time constraint. This day our daily bread. It's actually a reference to Exodus 16 and the story of manna, of the manna that God gave to Israelites when they were recently rescued from Egypt. So in Matthew it says, give us this day our daily bread. And so everything that we talk about today will really revolve around this idea of today, this day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when Corona is over, but now, today, in this moment. So I really invite you to be in this moment with us over the interwebs, but in this moment nonetheless. With your coffee, with your breath, with your body, with everything that is happening right now, just to be here. Give us this day our daily bread. I think going through Exodus 16 a little bit will help us to kind of flesh out what this means exactly, what this means in this moment, because I actually think the situation of Exodus 16, which we weren't able to fit in the whole chapter in the previous reading, but the situation of Exodus 16 is so similar to what's going on right now, which really is just another way of saying it's what we humans go through. So in Exodus 16, just as a reminder, if you want to turn to that in your Bible too, in Exodus 16, the Israelites had been rescued from Egypt out of slavery, and God rescued them out of that whole situation. And then in they come before the wilderness, and they realize that they're hungry. And so they say this very, they kind of have this moment, and I think it's actually one of the really most sad moments in the scriptures, where they say, we're so hungry that we wish we had just died in Egypt, because at least when we were slaves in Egypt, we had meat to eat. And instead, now, God, you've led us into the wilderness to die. And so God hears their complaints, which is really a cry for help. God hears them, and God provides. God actually gives them bread and meat, as we saw in the reading. But the way that God does this is very particular and very interesting. God places certain limitations on it. You can only gather for that day. And on the Sabbath, you gather for 2 days, because on the Sabbath, you don't gather. You don't work. And only gather so you have enough for your family. So some people will have more because they have a bigger family. Some people have less, but everybody has enough. And for those who tried to hoard, or those who tried to get more than they needed, worms came. So there was a way that God kind of set boundaries and limitations. Even when folks violated those things, the worms came. And it's worth asking, why did God do it this way? And we're going to explore this, because it's just interesting. And I think it's also relevant to what is happening now. So in verse 1, so in Exodus 16, verse 1, and this is something that I didn't realize before, it says the Israelites approached the wilderness. Whenever I imagine this story, I actually imagine them already in the wilderness. Like, they've been there for, like, at least a few weeks or at least a few months, and then they're like, we're hungry, this sucks, let's get out of here. But actually, it's right before they get into the wilderness. It's an anticipatory fear. It's a fear of what's coming. It's a fear of seeing this threat and kind of expecting the worst. And so right before they get into the wilderness, they're overcome with anxiety and fear. And what they do is they project nostalgia into the past. We should have died in Egypt. At least we had meat there. And they project catastrophe into the future. You brought us into the wilderness to die. And in that moment, overcome by anxiety and overcome by fear, they are everywhere but the present moment. They're in the past. They're in the future. But they are not there. They are not with one another. They don't trust God. In some ways, right, they say it's about food. And in some ways, it really is about food. They say, we're hungry. We need to eat. Which is true. Humans need to eat. So on the top level, of course, it is about food. They need food. If they don't get food, they will literally die. Especially if they're going into the wilderness, which is really scary. On another level, though, and we'll see this in the way that God responds, it is about food, but it's also about something else. It's about the ways that their fears get kind of funneled into their anxiety about food. And it's a way that all this stuff, the wilderness right there, knowing that they can't turn back, even though they had seen God work in all these really amazing ways, this kind of particular impasse and the anxiety that comes from it gets funneled, it has to get funneled into something concrete, and it happens to get funneled into this anxiety about food. I used to work with public housing residents, and the particular public housing residents that I worked with in San Francisco, a lot of them dealt with hoarding issues, and we see that happening now, not so coincidentally. And I always used to kind of get frustrated with a lot of our hoarding clients, especially because at that time, we were trying to relocate everybody because they were renovating some of the public housing buildings we were in. So we were like, oh my goodness, you have so much junk. And it's not only overwhelming, but it's a safety risk. But I think as we would talk to a lot of our residents, we realized that so many of them had grown up in situations of poverty, of war, of scarcity and lack. And so when they came to America, not to mention in America, things were still felt very unstable and dangerous. They started to hoard everything, and not even things that they needed, right? It'd be like instruction manuals and newspapers. And so on one level, it's about the stuff itself. It kind of is, right? Some of the stuff was actually important. Family items, mementos, things from the past. But on the other level, there's so much stuff that they didn't actually need. Because on the second level, it wasn't actually about the stuff. It was about this sense of control, this sense of security, this sense of, I know what it's like to not have anything, and therefore now I need to hold on. Therefore now, in this unknown place where I'm clearly not welcome, where I'm poor and I don't have much, everything that I have, I need to cling on to, even this strange instruction manual for this, you know, weird device. And we see the exact same thing happening now. We see the exact same thing happening. We see a similar thing happening with the Israelites. It is about food, but it's also about this deep existential fear, this threat, the wilderness. Here we are. What the heck are we going to do? God has to respond to both of these things. So God, what we see is that God does give them food. Thank goodness God gives them food. God responds to their material need, but we see that God also does it in a particular way, such that God also responds to the deeper thing, to the existential need. Nevertheless, in verse 10, and I think this is important for us too, in verse 10 of chapter 16 in Exodus, it says they looked towards the wilderness. They're not even in there yet. They looked towards the wilderness. And it says the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. So God is in the wilderness. God's there already, kind of waiting for them. So God is in the wilderness. God is in our wilderness. God is in whatever things that are kind of ominously sitting there right in front of us right now, whether it's coronavirus, whether it's illness and death, but also all the other junk that we have going on in the absence of this this national pandemic, this world pandemic that's going on right now. Whatever it is that is causing you that fear and anxiety, we look towards the wilderness and we see that God is already there. So, as we said, God responds to both the material need and the existential kind of freaking out moment. In the midst of scarcity and panic, though, as the Israelites are complaining and having their own little panic session, God does not join them in their panic. God is not an anxious God. Because in all, like, God, and I think if I were God, right, I would have been like, okay, just be quiet, stop complaining. You want food? Take all the food. Here's all. Like, God could have just given them everything. You don't want to go into the wilderness? Oh, let's go around. Here's a bunch of eagles. You know, they'll pick you up and carry you over the wilderness. Like, God could have, out of God's anxiety, perhaps, if God were like us, just boom, like, what do you need? I'll fix it. Done. But actually what God does, God responds not anxiously, right, providing for their material need, providing for the food. Even if the food is just the tip of the iceberg, God provides for their food, but with limitations. God says, only take enough so that everybody has enough, and only take for the day, just for today. Just for today. And I was chewing on this, because I was like, is this just a test? You know? Does God just want them to prove that they have some sort of faithfulness, that they trust him? I think that would be fine, but also kind of, it still feels a little bit strange. Like, why couldn't God just give them enough? Why couldn't God just let them save? Why couldn't God just let them build some storehouses or whatever, some boxes to carry into the wilderness? I think... God sets these limitations not because God wants to test them. Like, if you're faithful, then you get to eat. If you show yourself to be faithful, if you show up every morning, only those people will get to eat. But if you're not faithful, if you don't trust me, you have to starve. That's not how it is. Instead, God sets these limitations as an invitation for them to trust, as an invitation for them to actually deal with that existential fear. And that's what actually is the antidote to the fear that was actually causing them all the stress about the food. This is how God gets to the deeper level, is that trust, that daily trust, that daily faith is what casts out the fear, is what pushes the fear away. One other thing that I thought that I was wrestling with is, like, what does it actually mean? Let's even bring it to the now. What does it actually mean to trust God in this moment, in moments of fear and anxiety, whatever it may be about? What we see in the passage is that faith is not just about believing the right things. It's not just about saying, like, okay, God, I know that you're going to bring food tomorrow. This is great. I'd like to imagine that there were some Israelites who were like, this is silly. Why do we have to do this every day? Why should we even trust God who brought us out here in this terrible place? Isn't that why they started complaining in the first place? Because they weren't sure. They didn't know what was going to happen in the wilderness. And so what's interesting is that it doesn't say that anybody went without food. Everybody had food, and I imagine that even the people who doubted got food. And what that means to me is that faith is not about what you believe. Faith is about actually just showing up in the morning. That even if there were Israelites who doubted, it doesn't matter what's going on in here, per se. The most important part was that even if they doubted in here, cognitively and intellectually, all that really mattered is that they go out in the morning. that faith might be more about your hands and feet in times of anxiety than it is about your mind and what you believe and getting yourself to convince yourself that everything's going to be okay. Because it actually is scary. And I think what we see in this passage is that you can be scared and faithful at the same time. You can go out every morning and still not really be sure of what it all means. That even the people who doubted got food because they went out and collected. Finally, I just wanted to share that coming back to the Matthew passage, give us this day our daily bread. That in a lot of ways, when we pray this, we channel kind of that faithfulness of the Israelites. It's interesting because it actually creates a two-way street between us and God. The Israelites, yeah, they had a part to play. They show up in the morning and they collect and they gather and they kind of reside within these limitations. But God also has to show up. God is the one who brings the food. That God has a role to play in this. It's not just us. Like, God is not just like, well, are you going to do it? And, you know, are you going to be faithful? But God actually, like, we need God to be faithful too. And that's why we ask, give us this day our daily bread. That this is more about partnership than it is about, than it is either about God only giving, or only about us trusting. It's a partnership. I show up in the morning to gather. God shows up in the morning to provide. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are channeling that relationship, that mutuality, that partnership. There's some ancient Christians that we call the Desert Fathers. We call them the Desert Monastics. Monks who lived in the desert, who wanted to get away from the city. It sounds kind of nice right now, actually. To live a life of solitude and working and praying. And they had kind of had this mantra or prayer that they would repeat to themselves, a one-word prayer that they would repeat to themselves when things got really particularly overwhelming and difficult. And the prayer was not Jesus, the prayer was not God, the prayer wasn't even help. Their one-word prayer was today, today, today. What does it look like to practice a Christianity or a faith or a theology of today, of this moment, of now? How can we love God and neighbor now, today, here, with what we have? The situation might not be perfect, far from it actually. You might not have all the skills or knowledge that you would like to have. We might not have all the freedom that we would like to have. And yet, the question remains, how can we love God and neighbor today, now? Especially for the vulnerable, especially for those who do not have enough. So who do we need to call? Who needs groceries? Who could use a prayer or a word of encouragement or a letter or a card? Who can you pray for? How is God calling all of us to be faithful today, right now, in this moment? So when we ask God, give us this day our daily bread, we are joining with the Israelites, and we are also joining with one another. We're asking God to show up. And we are also showing up in expectation that God will be there. And it also means that we ask who around us does not have their daily bread, who does not have enough, who in this community can we lend a hand to? So, church family, I just want to say that we're going to get through this. Because the God who rescued the Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery is with us. And this God is mighty to save. God has not abandoned us, even though the wilderness is sitting right there staring us in the face. But I invite all of us into a place of moment by moment, day by day, trust and faithfulness You don't have to push all your fear or anxiety away, but you can show up nonetheless every morning saying, God, here I am, and I need you to show up too. I need you to come through. We can be scared and faithful at the same time. And faithfulness looks like loving God and neighbor now, here, in this moment. So let us step with courage into the wilderness that awaits us, knowing that the glory of the Lord will meet us there. Amen.
Amen.
Church, let us hold a time of silence, and then we'll pray together. This is the day that the Lord has made, and from all of the places that we reside, we rejoice and we are glad in it. We give thanks for this day, and we give thanks that the gift of our faith is a prayer, that we have a relationship with God, that we can connect with God, that and through prayer, we connect not only with God, but with the world, with our neighbors, with our church, with everyone around us. Prayer is something that we can do when we're gathered together. It's something that we can do when we're alone and by ourselves. And at this time, I want to invite you to join your heart with mine, with our hearts, as we join together in the prayers of the people, as we pray for ourselves and as we pray for the world. During this time of prayer, we're going to have a litany to pray through together. Again, the subtitles will be on your screen. I think you'll be pretty familiar with the words, as the lines that you will pray will be the lines of the Lord's Prayer. So they should be pretty familiar to you. In between each line, we'll have a time. I'll offer a vocal prayer as well, and then we'll have a time to hear the Lord's Prayer sung. During that time, Nate and I will be adding your prayers to the prayer wall. So at this time, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed
be your name.
Mystery beyond our knowing, close to us as our breathing. In humble awe, O God, we pray.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
We pray, O God, for your vision of justice, your vision of mercy, to be made real in our world, even today, even now.
Give us this day our daily bread.
We pray, O God, for your vision of enough sustenance, enough warmth, enough healing for all of your children throughout all the earth.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray for the grace to let go of that which is death-dealing, as we embrace your vision for life, O God, that we might follow you safely through all that might stand before us, all that might be in the wilderness ahead of us as we approach the steps before us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, giving thanks for presence that defies definition in this life and beyond.
I invite you to sing along as this has become familiar to our community. Our God.
Church, God's abundant provision is great. It's made known in the deep love that God has for us through Jesus. It's made known through the embodied experience of deep love that we share with those around us, with the world beyond. Out of God's abundance, we are enabled to give. We are enabled to give generously. While we'll not be passing the plate this morning, we do encourage you to give generously anyways. You can visit the church's website to give through there. You can simply click a link that is in the email where you probably got this, the link for this worship service. For the First Presbyterian email, it's the My Gift to Give button. Or in just a moment, you'll have the number that you can text to give as well show up on your screen. There are many ways that we can give and give generously. We give generously to the ministry, to the mission of Jesus Christ at work in the world. Through our giving, may we rejoice and boldly declare that fear shall not prevail, that love shall be the victor. Our morning offering will now be received. God of open hands, we offer ourselves to you, knowing that you are the sustainer of all life.
We thank you.
Receive these gifts and multiply them for your kingdom, that we would not have more than we need, and that all may have enough.
We beseech you.
In the name of the bread of life. Amen.
So we remind everyone that as a way of passing the peace today, we encourage folks, you know, give just one or two people a phone call and just share the peace with them. Just say hello, check in, make sure folks are doing okay. So now, don't go out from this place. Stay where you are. Stay inside. But may the God of providence, the God who gives us everything we need, the God of enough, the God who meets us with mercies every single morning, may this God be with all of us, especially as we see the wilderness, especially in times of fear and anxiety. May you experience a peace that you have never experienced before because you chose to be faithful every single morning. May God bless you and keep you. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.